just begin to bless the Lord this morning. Come on and open your mouth and bless the Lord this morning. Come on, just a little bit more. Open your mouth and bless the Lord this morning. Come on and high five your neighbor and say, the Lord is here. Yeah. It's a free atmosphere. Yes, sir. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Man, I'm excited this morning. Praise God. Is God not perfect in all of his ways? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. If you can, if you're able, just grab the hand of your neighbor this morning. Praise God as we go to his throne of grace. Yeah. Oh God, as we lay at your feet this morning, you already know what you have for us. Even when we don't know for ourselves, this morning we ask that you would speak to us, speak through me, speak through the parishioners, maybe whisper something through us to say to our neighbor this morning. That we all can assemble ourselves together this morning to honor and bless and glorify you. Holy Spirit, as you begin to work, and you're already working here, you know what to say to us. You know what we need. You know what we ask of. God, we long to satisfy you and to put a smile on your face, to make you bigger than anything that we have going on in our lives. God, it's your time. Whatever it is that has been hovering over us, that's been keeping us down, move it this morning, God. If it be thy will, if it be thy will, have your way this morning. Forgive us of our sins, so that we can operate freely according to your will and do your word no harm, to keep it within its rightful context. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time for Jesus. He's the center of our joy. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. You may be seated in the presence of our holy God, holy King. Man, we had an awesome time all weekend. And it's just getting started. I know you said, Pastor, no, we've already started. No, it's just getting started. Man, that was just appetizer. Today is going to be the entree. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for all the singles that came out on Friday night. Amen. It's a blessing. And to the couples that came out on yesterday, we had a blast. Amen. With Pastor Will and Dr. Grace Nichols. And I mean, they just always come to bless us beyond measure. Amen. And I know, because he's my pastor, that even in his service today, that he has come into beyond measure, that his service will not even be the same today. I speak that over his life and his ministry that God has given him to do. Amen. We're going to pick back up in this series entitled Destiny. Somebody say destiny. Man, say one more time, I am a masterpiece. Destiny. And today I want to pick right back up and give you part three of this awesome series entitled Destiny. Again, it has changed my mindset in my life in its entirety, and all that we do and all that I do, all that God has given me to do, it has changed some things, my perspective and the way that I look at things, and it has even changed the way that I look at people. That's a big one there. It has changed the way that I look at people. I don't really see the person that's standing in front of me. I see what's inside the person that's standing in front of me. No matter if they are in tears, no matter if they're smiling, no matter what they're telling me, I try to see past some of the things that we put on to appease people. Amen. And destiny. I want to do a recap before I get into part three. And we define destiny as your destiny is a called, customized life that God has ordained and equipped you to accomplish in order to bring him glory, watch this, and achieve the greatest of his kingdom. I want you to, if you hadn't pinned that down, I want you to pin it down, highlight it, make sure you see it every day, that your destiny is a called, customized life. Say, I'm customized. Whew, you're the only one that God has ordained and equipped you to accomplish in order to bring him glory and achieve the greatest of his kingdom. Let me pause for a minute because I had a thought right here that you could be doing something that is excellent and that is great, but if it's outside of the will of God for your life, it does not mean that God is getting the glory out of it. I'm going to show you in a few minutes, if we can go ahead and bring the couch out. I'm going to show you that you can be doing something and serving a purpose, just not your purpose, and prove to you that God does not get the glory like he should be getting out of it because you're not doing what you were created to do. Now, I'm getting a little bit into my message, but I'm in my message, so let's go. So I've given you the definition of destiny, and I said that titled, I'm a Masterpiece. You have that part, and I said a few weeks ago that we all just put it right here, catty corner, because we have a few in here. I said a few weeks ago that I'm a masterpiece, and also I'm a piece of the master. Man, come on, bring it on up. I'm a piece of the master. In other words, I'm a part of the puzzle that God has strategically designed. That's good. I'm a part of the puzzle that God has strategically designed for me to be a part of. I'm a piece of the master. I'm a piece of the master. Say, I am a piece of the master. I need to preach this second service. I'm a piece of the master. Ephesians 2 and 10, we've gone over this scripture. I want to drive it in you because I found out that repetition is the only time and the only way that we actually get things. You know, we have to read it. We have to see it. We have to meditate on it. We have to eat it. You know, have to do all these things so that we could just automatically begin to allow it to flow up out of us. Right? So it says in Ephesians 2 and 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, you know it by heart by now, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship. Another recap I gave you 2 weeks ago was when God made you, he went straight to work. When God made you, he went straight to work. In fact, when he made you, although we are perfect, we're perfect in his image. He perfected us in his image. When he created us, he went to work. And when he went to work, he had the end thing in mind before he started with the beginning. That was too much. It was short, though. You should have got it. I said he had the end thing in mind. He had your destiny in mind, Brother Larry. He had your destiny in mind before you were created. He had your destiny in mind before you were created. So therefore, when he went to work and started to create you and fashion you, he already had the end result in mind. Let me speak for a minute. It baffles God when he does not see the destiny that he created in you, because he know he created you for a specific purpose. I mean, if you were in science class and the teacher gave you a project, you have to start the project with the end thing in mind. In fact, it's called vision. And you know what you want the project to do. You know what its function is. And when it does not function the way that you created it to function because you were in biology class, you've got a problem. Why? Because you are the creator. I'm preaching already. And because you're the creator and you created the project, you want it to function the way that you had it in mind. In other words, the way that God gave it to you is the way that you want to see it function. Now, how be it that when God gave himself a dream and he dreamed of you functioning in your true destiny, how does he feel when you do not function the way that he created you to function? And so what happens is that God allows things to come into your life and God allows things to stay into your life that you brought into your life that he did not intend for you to have in your life. Why does he allow it to stay in your life? Because he tries to get you to see something else. In other words, God will leave something, a mole, if you will. God will leave something in your life to prove to you. Number one, I didn't create this for you. Number two, I need for you to see it that you went outside of the will of myself to create something for yourself so that you could get the glory. But you were not created for you to get the glory. You were created so that I could get the glory. So I've already have in mind the end result, the end thing in mind before you were formed. And so what happens is that God sits back and says, you know what? He or she shouldn't be doing that. I mean, John shouldn't be doing that. Come on. I mean, Ms. Davis, come on. I created you better than this. You shouldn't be in the area. Why are you in this area of your life? Why? Why are you in this area? Why are you over here and not here? God will leave you over there. God is amazing. He still has his hand on you, but he will leave you over there just so you will realize maybe this is not what God intended for me to have. Oh, my. See, I don't want to talk about relationships, although we just come out of a relationship conference, even if you're single. Did you get that? Okay. I don't want to focus on relationships, but it's impossible not to focus on relationships when you're preaching because God created you with an intended purpose for a relationship. I'm not talking about your spouse. I say God created you with an intended purpose for a relationship. And when he does not have the relationship that he created to be, then there's a problem with something that he created. Let's move on. I said when God made you, he went to work. What did he go to work with? With your personality, with your looks, passion, skills, and allowing your imperfections and planting your dreams all into one magnificent work. God dreamed a dream, I told you, and his dream for you is to expand his kingdom globally. To expand his kingdom globally. Now, guess what? You, per se, by yourself, cannot expand technically globally. So now I got to hook up with you to duplicate what God put in me, not so that you can be me, but so that you can be or become what God created you to become, which is a disciple. God created you to be a disciple, and the reason why we lack or we struggle with the global plan because we're not duplicating discipleship. Talk, Pastor. Oh, there's not much duplication going on. There's an increase in a multiplication of membership, but there's not much going on with discipleship. That's another subject. So God has a plan to expand his kingdom. Now I get to the point where I want to talk about today. I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you concerning the functionality of a masterpiece. I want to talk about the functionality of a masterpiece. Say it with me, the functionality of a masterpiece. The functionality. The first thing I want to deal with is, how do you function? I mean, there's a song got about that, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, I better not say it. How do you function? This is Sunday school. This is Bible study. It's a little bit of Sunday service. I want to make sure you understand what God is trying to do and trying to produce. See, God was the first ultimate soul grown producer. I mean, God came up with that concept. I just borrowed it, really. God was the first one, the soul, to grow and produce. produce, produce. He did it. Genesis 1 and 26, he did it. He did it. God sown, he had to sow, and so that you could grow, and he wanted you to produce. Sow, grow, and produce is a kingdom concept. How do you function? God's masterpiece, watch this, functions in a certain way. In other words, the functionality of his masterpiece function in a certain way. Howbeit that in the body of Christ, we don't operate in the function that God really created us to function in. I want to get to the end, but I can't get there yet. I can't get there yet. Because functioning like a masterpiece, how can I help us understand what that means? God created us for a specific purpose. Somebody say purpose. He didn't create us just so we could look good in the mirror, which brings me to a place here. God didn't create us to look good in the mirror. That's a slide for you. You were created to do more than turn heads. Some people walk out the house to gather themselves and to fix themselves up just so they could just turn heads. I mean, oh, you leave the house, you want to look good today. You want to make some people do a double take. Well, that's great, because I'm going to just let you in on a secret. Brethren, when you're doing a double take, the problem comes in when you come in to take, right? The problem comes in because you like what you see, but let's talk about the women. I don't want to talk about the brothers today. I'm a brother today. Let me talk about the women. Here it is. You know, we go in and you like what you see. You do a double take or the triple take, triple, quadruple. Man, woo, you like what you see. And when you come in and you hook up with what you like and what you've seen, the problem is you don't check the functionality of what you like, of what you saw. And so because you were mesmerized by what you see, you exclude the functionality of what it should be. I'm rapping right now, right? And so because I have no regard for the functionality, see, you don't really pay attention to the function until you get into the same household. But you got to pay attention to the function when you do the second take. You see, the first take, they look good. The second take is, I need to start checking them out, their characteristics. I want to know what's special about them to make sure that they're not special, right? I gotta make sure that everything is great, because if we get into a situation, I need to make sure that they're solid financially. I need to make sure that they can carry their own, because, I can't talk about me because I'm married, but you can't hook up with something that's trying to, that you need somebody to pick you up or carry you, right? You got to be able to carry yourself first, because if you wait on that joker to carry you, then he may not be functioning able enough to carry you like you want him to be. So what happens is, because you like what you saw, now you struggle with what you see, because now with what you see doesn't have the function that you so desire. Now you want to run to pastor's office. Now you want to get on the internet and check out and see and do some background checks. Listen, saints. I was in the gym a few weeks ago, and I came up. God gave me this concept. People of God, don't get caught with your Bible down. That was really for preachers, right? You can't get caught with your Bible down. Right? Because, you know, you're tried on every hand. You got folks who like you, but they don't operate in the same class as you. That's another subject. I want to go. I can't go there. Number two, you will not realize how masterfully you've been made until you begin fulfilling your destiny. You will not see yourself as a masterpiece until you begin to fulfill your destiny. You won't see yourself as a masterpiece until you begin to operate in your destiny. You will not. You spend time. You want to be a head turner, right? You want to stimulate minds. You want to make a lot of money. You want to make people laugh. You know, a lot of people want to make people laugh. And I'm like, well, you know what? That wasn't even funny. Why are you trying to stimulate people? The same people that you make laugh because you haven't seen yourself as a masterpiece, watch this, are the same people that end up laughing at you. You've got to know your purpose. You got to know your worth. There are people that, you know, it has nothing to do with age. But I will tell you, the quicker that you discover that you have destiny, that God created you for destiny, and the quicker that you discover that you have a certain function that you're supposed to operate in, is the quicker that you'll begin to operate with a genuine smile. It's the quicker that you'll begin to operate with genuine joy. You see, we try to fabricate these things, and we put on these things. We put on a smile. We put on joy. We put on love. But really, really, if you hang around them long enough, if you hang around them long enough, you'll see the real authentic person come out. Just spend a little. That's why I tell people, you ain't got time to be faking and exaggerating all this. Listen, you got to be real up front. Because the moment people discover who you really are is the moment they say, "Whoa, I didn't know that. They fooled me." I'm telling you, if you ain't here today, you got to stop fooling people and you got to be the real you up front. Because sooner or later, the real you is going to begin to bleed through. Those blemishes are going to come out. Those flaws are going to come out. That's why when you meet people, you got to let them know about that stuff up front. Look here, man. Look. I've been broke. I've been busted. I've lost things. I've been bankrupt. I've been all these things. But guess what? I'm still a masterpiece. And he's still working on me. Don't show up like you got it all together. You a masterpiece. Watch this. But you have some imperfections in you. And you a masterpiece, but you're not flawless. Woo! You know what's so amazing? Oh, man, thank you, God. You know what's so amazing? What's so amazing is every masterpiece that's set up on the mantle, because we deem it as a masterpiece, it's a masterpiece also because it has imperfections. Oh, man. Your imperfections are unique. Oh, man. In other words, what makes you great, oh, God, what makes you great and give God glory is your imperfections. What makes you great and gives God glory is your flaws. Y'all ain't working with me. So what happens is, I was looking at cars a few years ago, and I said, I was talking to the salesman. I said, listen, I want you to fix that dent. Before I purchase this car, I want you to fix that dent. He said, Mr. Long, let me tell you something. This car is worth X amount of dollars. And if I fix the dent or the flaw, if I fix the flaw in this piece, in what we consider a masterpiece, it will decrease the value of the masterpiece. I said, how is that so? Because it looks to me that that's ugly. It has flaws. It wasn't created like that. He said, yeah, I know. But the moment that I mess with the manufacturer's design, God Almighty, the moment that I change and pull the dent out, the moment that I make it look like I want it to look is the moment that the value begins to decrease. You can't do what the manufacturer can do. I said, well, the manufacturer didn't put the dent in it. Somebody was doing something they had no business doing and put the dent in the car. Elder, I didn't know I was going there, but you can use it. So somebody put the dent in the car. Now, a person put the dent in the car, but the manufacturer created the car. They, in other words, they are the manufacturer of the vehicle. But the person put the dent in the car. I said, so why can't a person pull the dent out the car so it will look like what the manufacturer created? He said, well, to be honest with you, we can pull it out and we can sell it. But when we look at the background history of the car report, we're going to be able to identify that this car has had work done on it that was not created or done by the manufacturer. The moment that someone knows that somebody else has tampered with something that was created not by man is the very moment that folks back up on it. Whoa, okay, you done had what? 1, 2, 3. Okay, I think I'm going to take a step back. Okay. Oh, that's not real. Thank you for letting me know. Now I got to step back. See, you got to be real, and you got to be careful when you tamper with God's design. That's why it's important. That's why it's important for us to not tamper. Woo, I got to go. That's why it's important for us to not tamper with God's word. I gotta go. That was somewhere else. I need about 30 more minutes. I'm gonna go. Here it is. Number three. You will feel like a masterpiece when you start functioning like a masterpiece. You will feel like a masterpiece when you start functioning like a masterpiece. Talk to me. You know, when someone encourages you, when someone gives you uplifting words, when somebody speaks life into your situation, it makes you stand up. It makes you lift your head up. You know why? Because you begin to operate and function like the masterpiece you were created to be. When folks talk down to you, trash, if you let that stuff in, you will not function like a masterpiece. How are you going to function? You're going to function like you're down. You're going to function like the words that you've allowed to come into your ear gates. You're going to function just as they see you. But when you know you're a masterpiece, you know, if you know you're a masterpiece, you can go sit right in the midst of garbage. Not to be boastful and prideful, but you can go sit right in the midst of, what do you call that place? We take garbage to? The landfill. You can go sit right in the midst of the landfill and be comfortable. You know why? Because you know who you are. When you go in the midst of people who talk down and dirty, watch this, out in the community, sometimes in the church, sometimes it feels like you're in a landfill. When you go on your job and you operate in your career and you're in your cubicle and you have all those devils around you, sometimes it feels like you're in a landfill. But when you know your purpose, you know you're special, you know you're rare, you know your ability that God placed inside of you, you know your worth. I gotta go. Somebody say, he gotta go. Come on, I gotta move on. How do you glorify God? How is it that we glorify God? Jesus gives us the answer in John 17:4. He says, I glorified you on the earth. Jesus talking now, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his daddy. He says, I've glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Watch this. That's what makes God smile, is when you operate in the capacity that God has given you to operate in. We struggle because we're not operating in our area, watch this, of expertise. We're struggling because we're not operating in the area or the design that we were created to operate in. I want to give you this, and I'm going to move on. I'm going to come to a closing. Number four says, no statue, no painting, or song has ever been written to create. It never created itself. The song does not write itself. The painting does not draw itself. Somebody, the creator, had to have a concept, an idea. I'm leaning on the back of God. Had to have a concept, an idea called the big idea, to come up with a big plan to put on a canvas. You cannot draw or write on a canvas until you have an idea or a concept. When you put the idea on the canvas, you already know where you're headed. And when people come up, you know, you ever seen an artist begin drawing and you show up and you're like, what in the world is he doing? It doesn't really look like anything. I mean, I wouldn't pay for that with your dollar. I mean, you look at what the artist is doing and you said, I can't see it. But guess who knows what's going on? The artiste. He knows what he's trying to accomplish. Why? Because he already has the idea in his mind. Now, I did some thinking, because everything that's created here on earth was really created by God. In other words, you said, but now some things were created by man. Yeah, but man could not really come up with these concepts and these ideas without the mind of God. What a man thinketh in his, so is he, right? And so you got to be careful with saying, this is my idea, this is my thing. No, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. God created it and loaned it to you so that you could give him glory. Watch this. Let me get some. Come here. This thing is amazing. It's amazing to me. Because I look at things totally different. I told you that at the beginning of the service. I look at things totally different. And, Elder, can I borrow your stool? Let me borrow your stool, Elder. I'm going to have you stand up for 5 minutes. Somebody help me out. Bring the stool right here. Yeah, help me out. And so Deke, I want you to sit in the chair. I want you to sit in that chair. Mm-hmm. I want you to sit in that chair, Deke. Is the chair comfortable? Now, I can tell the chair been worked because it's got a few cracks. You know, it has lost some color. Amen. Thank you, Elder. I appreciate it. And, you know, the chair was created for us to sit our behinds in. Right? Now, the chair is really functioning the way that it was designed to function. I mean, it has some braces. It has a frame. And all these things is what has been wrapped in. So would you say that the chair, the couch, works? All right, now do something that you love doing. Lay down on the couch. I want you to lay down on the couch. Now, the chair is not a bed. The couch is not a bed. We call it also a love seat for two, you and your boo. So I can't sit beside you. So, now, I want you to notice that this is not a bed. It's a chair. But because it's so comfortable and it covers the length of your body, you can lay down and take a nap. But truly, though, if you stay there every night and every day, it's going to become problematic because it wasn't created for you to lay down and take a nap or go to sleep in. It was created for you to sit in, right? Now, come on up. I want you to sit in the stool because technically both of these things were created to do the same thing. This is a little bit higher, a little bit more stiff, right? It's not as comfortable. You know why? Because it wasn't created for you to sit in as long as you can sit in the couch. We know it as couch potatoes because we sit here because of the comfort level. Now, you're sitting in the stool. You're a little bit higher, right? You're not going to sit there very long. But now I want you to lay down in the stool. Yeah, go ahead. I want you to lay down. I want you to lay down, Deacon. You're tired. Y'all think you can do it? You can't lay down? Stand up for me, Deacon. He said, you're going to make me look like a fool, right? Give me a youth. Give me a youth. Come here. Come on, hurry up. Come on. Run, jump up here. I see you jumping around. Come on. Sit in the chair. Stand up. Sit on the stool. The high chair. Now, you're pretty athletic because I know you. I've seen you. I want you to lay down in this stool. Lay down. See, I know he's going to make it work, right? Now, you're laying down because I told you to. Is it comfortable? It's not, is it? Why is it not comfortable? It's not long enough, and it does not accommodate your body for you to lay horizontally in. Watch this. Sometimes we allow people to put us in places that we have no business in. Watch this. But when you allow people to put you in places that you have no business in, you allow people to diminish you as a masterpiece because we're saying right now that you cannot lay down in this area. But the area he's trying to lay down in is not for the function, not for him to function to lay down in. Watch this. We're trying to place people in areas that is not their calling, it's not their position. We're trying to put them in places and things and deal with people that's not their area. And then we want to degrade them because they were not created to do that. And we don't see the outcome, watch this, that we want to see. You've got to stop allowing people to put you in positions that you were not called or created to be in. Just like we have the furniture here and we're trying to do certain things with this furniture that it was not created to do, sometimes we as people try to do things that we were not created to do. We try to sing, we try to preach, we try to teach, we try to play instruments in the church, we try to work jobs and go to different careers. Let me tell you something. If you want to truly, truly, truly glorify God, then you'll begin to operate in the masterpiece that he created you in, and you'll begin to do what he called and chose you to do from the moment of birth. The reason why, thank you, y'all are so comfortable. The reason why we struggle is because we've gotten out of position. And you're trying to function
in a different manner. Maybe like she's functioning, maybe like he's functioning. But baby girl, you were not designed to do that. So you cannot allow your feet to be in that position because you were not created to be in that position. There's so many struggles. I want to go in a different area, but not now. I don't have time. There's so many areas in the body of Christ that we struggle with and in because we're in the wrong areas. We're trying to do things and go places because man said go there. Let me tell you something. When you're doing and you're operating in the will of God, there's no man that should be able to tell you to go that you should already be doing it. I told you, if you're going to be successful at something, most likely it's going to be your hobby. You should already be doing it. Baby, you should be skipping and singing outside before you're on the praise team. You should be in the park, in the water park singing. You should be in the house already singing. You don't start singing and glorify God when you get on the stage. The platform is where you wake up at. The birds wake up to chirp and sing. They fly because they were created to fly. You don't see the birds walking around in the jungle. They're in the air because that's the place they were created to be. I'm going to say this for second service. I got to go. Let me close with this. Most likely, most of us have been or were raised in a home that your parents had a couch with plastic on it. Y'all remember that couch? Some of them still have that couch. So don't get mad at them if you still have it. But in that room with the furniture that had the plastic on it was a room classified most likely as a living room. The problem with the living room is that you really don't live in that room. So really we need to reclassify that room as the stay-out room. Yeah, we call it the stay-out room, right? And so what happens is this couch with this plastic on it and this floor and this carpet and all these artifacts in this room, the only time you really go in the room is when you have guests. Because it's the living room, and this is where we keep it nice. And most likely it's at the front of the home. When people come in, oh, it's so nice. You know, you don't take people into your bedroom. Yet alone, you really don't take them in the bathroom, so you clean the bathroom up just in case they got to go. But here's the place that I want you to be at. Sometimes in this place called the living room, we don't go in because it's so nice and it's so beautiful and so on. You know, that's really sometimes how we view God. Oh God, I don't want to step on the carpet. I don't want to sit on the furniture. It's so nice. Oh, I'm going to talk about the church for a minute. Oh, these nice artifacts. I'm not supposed to sit here. I'm not supposed to stand here. I don't want to mess this up. I'm supposed to touch this. Well, you know what? If God was really your daddy, you could go into the room no matter what the carpet is, no matter how the floor is, no matter how the design is, no matter how expensive the furniture is. If he's your daddy, you can go in there and sit down comfortable. If he's your daddy, you can go in and do whatever you want to do in the room as long as you don't disrespect your daddy. The problem with the church is I don't want you to go in here because you don't have the right title. I don't want you to go in here because you're not called to be in this area. I don't want you to go in here because you're not haven't been here long enough. You're not old enough. You're not young enough. You don't have right all the things you need to know. And you don't really understand about this room, so you can't go in this room. And God is saying, look, this is where I am. This is the place that I want you to be. I am the worship center. I am the beautiful edifice that you like to come into every day. I want you to come in here and take off your shoes. Kick off your shoes, relax your feet, party on down to the heaven beat, because this is where I want you to be. This is where I want you to be. I want you to come here and relax. You shouldn't be coming here uptight, can't speak, can't greet, can't do all these things. No, I am the room. And the moment that we begin to operate and worship as a unit, as a family, is the moment that we'll discover we can go into the room and have worship service. Watch this. And when we're ready to exit, all of us are going to clean the room up just as we found it. We don't have that, do we? That's a different area. Let's stand and give God praise.